Remain standing for the reading of our passage that we're going to look at this morning, taken from Luke, the 19th chapter, starting at the 10th verse. Or the first verse and ending at the 10th verse. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And now there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, as we look at this passage, we pray that you speak to our hearts and to our minds. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today we finish our Christmas series, a series in which we've looked at the various places where Jesus has told us why he came into the world, why the incarnation. And in doing this, I also cover another series I've been doing, and that of evangelism and that of outreach, because this phrase that we look at today covers both of those topics that we've been looking at as we've gathered together in the times that I've brought you God's Word. Luke speaks many times, as we just saw in the reading from the 15th chapter. Luke speaks many times of the lost being found. This whole 15th chapter that was just read deals with that. And here again, in the 19th chapter, we see again someone lost being found. Let's take a look, first of all, consider first the greater context of Luke 19, meaning not only this gospel, but the other gospels as well. Jesus has been at various times eating with the sinners and tax collectors, the lowlifes, spiritually and morally speaking, of the people in his day. And we see this this complaint being lodged again in regard to Jesus in this passage. In September, when we met together, the first message I gave on evangelism was from the Gospel of Mark, which he tells us that Matthew, when he is saved, immediately holds this banquet, invites all his friends. And there's criticism that Jesus is eating with these people. And Jesus at that time gives the argument that a sick person needs a physician, the doctor needs to be with those who are sick. And now, in the context of Luke's gospel, the reply of Jesus is instead, we saw from chapter 15, as he's criticized in verse 2 for eating with sinners and eating with them, is that the lost must be found. So Mark says the sick need the physician. Luke says the lost need to be found. And he gives three different parables to make that point. And now in this 19th chapter, we see again the situation where the lost is being found. Have you lost something that has been dear to you ever in your life? Maybe you lost a dog or a cat. As I walk around my neighborhood, I see posters all the time posted for lost cats and lost dogs. Maybe you've gone around searching. Sometimes somebody will stop and say, "Have you seen a lost dog?" Maybe you've lost your cell phone and searched high and low for it. Maybe you lost your purse or your wallet. And you retraced all your steps through the day, every place you'd been, asking if anybody had seen your purse or your wallet. Maybe as happened to us many years ago at a hayride on Johnson Farm. We come back from the hayride and behold, one of the children has been lost and left at Johnson's Farm. Meryl and I lost Sarah at the shore in the amusement pier one year. All of a sudden over the loudspeaker comes, "Well, the parents of Sarah, please come to the booth." You know, "I thought you had her." "No, I thought you had her." You know, so yes. And don't we look desperately for those things that we've lost in that way? Well, God is no different about those who are lost in this world. In the immediate context here, we see a lost man. We see another tax collector, one who was away from God. And he's not only a tax collector. It says in verse 2, at the end of the verse, that he is a chief tax collector, and he was rich. See, he was head over all those like Matthew. And he took a portion of what all the tax collectors collected. And so he, being the head of the tax collectors in that area, had made himself very rich in being an agent of the government of Rome. Hated Rome. And so here, this one who was lost, and everybody believed him to be lost, and we see here he knows himself to be lost. He's lost his way. Do you know someone who's lost their way? Maybe they've also excelled in sin and are living a life of godlessness. They are away from God, made far away as God as they can be. Maybe you are Zacchaeus this morning. Maybe you are away from God. Maybe you are the sinner excelling in sin, full of the things of this world. Maybe this just isn't the context of Luke chapter 19. Maybe it is the context of your life also. But Zacchaeus, being the sinner that he is and the rich man that he is, still has a curiosity about Jesus. And hearing that Jesus has come to his town, he seeks to look at Jesus. Zacchaeus might have been a very astute understanding of people. And having heard about Jesus, he wanted to eyeball Jesus now. He wanted to size him up. He wanted to take a look at him and see what kind of man this is that had this reputation. And so he seeks to take a look at Jesus. This desire of the sinner to come and get a glimpse of Jesus, whether it is out of curiosity to wander into a church and a worship service when they haven't been to church for a while, or to maybe stop on the radio when they hear a religious broadcast, or to be walking in Philadelphia and hear a street preacher preaching. The desire to stop and hear may be the beginnings of the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, even sinners can be curious about Jesus. At some point, even the life of sinners, there becomes a desire to understand who Jesus is. Maybe for the first time, to pick up a Bible and read it. This is the process, as we sang in our last hymn, of God seeking out people. And they know it because they began to seek out Jesus. And in contrast to Matthew, who held a big party, while Zacchaeus is up in the tree, Jesus walks under this tree, looks up at Zacchaeus, and he says to Zacchaeus, "Hurry up, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm coming to your house today." Wow. That invitation of Jesus into someone's house and into their life. You see, Zacchaeus may have lost Jesus, but Jesus hadn't lost Zacchaeus. The Lord Jesus knows where all His people are, wherever they are, though they may not know where God is at any one point in their life. Jesus knows. And so he looks up, and this invitation of Jesus to stay at Zacchaeus' house, that's pretty cheeky, isn't it? To invite, hey, what if I were to say after Sunday, "Hey, today I'm coming to your house for dinner." What's this about? We're not ready for you for dinner. Huh? But Zacchaeus is so moved by this invitation of Jesus, this openness of Jesus, where everybody looked at Zacchaeus as a hated sinner and walked on the other side of the street and spit on the ground when they saw him or gave him angry, hateful looks. Jesus is not that way with the sinner. Jesus is open and receiving of those who are lost. Even before the prodigal son said, "I'm not worthy to be your son," the father already had his arms open to receive him before he heard any word from his son. God and the Lord Jesus have open arms. It's interesting that Jesus was hung on the cross, and in hanging on the cross, his arms are open. Open to all sinners. And Zacchaeus, so moved by this, made haste and came down and received Jesus joyfully. But not everybody was happy here. There were a lot of brothers of the prodigal standing around. And when they saw it, they all complained. Now, it's interesting that when Israel came out of Egypt after seeing all those miracles and the splitting of the Red Sea, shortly afterward, they started to complain about water, and you never see them stop complaining to the rest of the time until they reach the Promised Land. And we say, "Oh, those Old Testament people." But when you look at the New Testament, you see a lot of complaining also. God and Jesus doing things that people aren't happy with the way they happen to be doing it. This is now the fourth time in different contexts in Mark and in Luke 15 and here Luke 19. We've seen people complaining about the method of Jesus and his outreach to sinners, of being a guest with this man. Do we understand that this miracle-working Jesus was often rejected and criticized by the most religious of his day and not the irreligious? Do we not think that if someone follows Jesus, that even the religious might be criticized because they do not fit into the mold of what is expected of us? That we are not where the righteous are, but where sinners are. The found don't need to be found, Jesus says. And he also says to us that there are those who think they are found who are nonetheless profoundly lost. I hope that is not true amongst us. But Zacchaeus is now found. And say, how do you know he's found? It's just this meeting with Jesus. And Jesus has invited himself to his home. How do you know he's found? Verse 8, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusations, I restore fourfold. He's reformed. He's profoundly changed. He's come from death to new life. It isn't work salvation that is being taught here. It's a change and transformation that is being taught here. As Paul says, such were some of you, but now you've been washed. Now you've been sanctified. This rich man immediately gave half of his bank account to those who were poor. And in the reading of the law where we saw earlier from the Old Testament, that a stolen sheep was restored fourfold and a stolen cow fivefold. He restores anything that he took from false accusation, trumped up tax charges, fourfold. Fourfold. This is a changed man. This is a man transformed by the grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see repentance, restitution, and a new path all in one statement indicating that this lost man is now found. We have to believe that this statement actually sums up new life. Have we been found? Has such a change been a part of our life since we met Christ? And then in verse 9, Jesus affirms to us that this man has been found, that he's no longer lost. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because he also is the son of Abraham. Can you hear the joy in this verse? The same joy as Jesus said that the angels have in heaven when one lost person is found. Do we ever think about that? When somebody is led to Christ, when somebody gives a prayer of salvation that is sincere and real, that there is a choir in heaven giving praise for that wondrous thing. Even more so than 150 us already saved gathered in worship. There is more joy over one that's come to salvation today than a whole church full of those who are already found or who think they're already found. He says, this Zacchaeus too is a son of Abraham. And now this son of Abraham has the faith of Abraham. This one that they rejected as an Israelite, he might as well just be a Roman, is indeed now a new man, circumcised both in body and in heart. Has salvation come to your house? Is Jesus the guest in your home? Is he permitted in every corner of your house as Savior and Lord? And now we come to the verse in which Jesus says why he came. It said after all this happens, so we get a good summary as to what this is all about. And what it is all about is this: for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why was Jesus born in the manger? Why did He leave His home in heavenly glory and come to earth? Why did He give up being the invisible God and take upon Himself human flesh and frailty? Why did He give up that human life by submitting to human hostility on the cross? He did it because He was seeking and saving that which is lost. We do not understand Christmas, and we do not understand church, and we do not understand Christianity unless we understand that Christmas and the church and Christianity is a search and rescue mission by the God of heaven. God came to earth to seek us here while we were in our sins, while we were unlovable. Jesus' whole mission is seeking and saving that which is lost. This was not only Jesus' mission in the incarnation, it is also Jesus' mission in His ascension. Because before He's ascended, He said, "You will be my witnesses before the world when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Jesus is still seeking and saving that which is lost. He is doing so through His body on earth, the church, and individual believers. And He is delaying His return until all who are lost are found. He is not willing for any to perish, but to all to come to repentance. This gospel will be preached to all the nations, and then the end shall come, Jesus says in Matthew 24. If you are lost this morning, if you do not have a relationship with the God of heaven, if you are living an unrepentant, sinful life and are separated from God, understand that Jesus is the seeker. And if you are seeking for something better, the seeker is seeking you, and you can seek Jesus. We are to continue the mission that Jesus started when He came to seek and save that which is lost. We are to continue seeking the lost for Him. There are those who are lost from Jesus, and He wants to find them. And He uses us to do so. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, Jesus says. Now let's turn to John, the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter. And the 21st verse. Jesus has resurrected from the dead. He is appearing to His disciples. He appears to them here another time. And when He does, Jesus says to them, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." As Jesus was sent into this world, so He sends you and me as believers in this world. As Jesus was sent to seek and save the lost, so we are part of the heavenly search party. You've probably seen on the news, I think it's happened 4 or 5 times this year, where somebody's lost. And the family and the police let everybody in the community know someone's lost? And all the neighbors and friends, and they gather and they go and search for the person who is lost until they find him. It's a desperate search. The longer the time goes, the more desperate they are in trying to find this one who is lost. Well, we are part of the heavenly search party. And when the search party has found us, we join that search party to find others. As Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost, he says he sends us to be his instruments to seek and save that which is lost. Who do you know is lost? What have we done in the past year to seek them? What are we going to do in the year to come to seek them? Who are we going to invite ourselves to present to them Jesus? But this verse is not only a summary of this morning. This verse is the summary of our whole series. Reviewing our series is Jesus is a light that came into the world, so he sends us as lights into the world. As Jesus came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them, so he sends us not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. As Jesus came as a shepherd, to shepherd the sheep, so he sends us as shepherds to go out and shepherd the sheep. As Jesus came to witness to the truth, so we are to go and witness to the truth. Have you ever lost anything and could not rest until it was found? The souls in this world are worth more than any material thing that you have ever lost and were so frantic to get back. Have we felt the least bit of unrest at the lost soul? And have we prayed for them to be found? Have we made any effort to find the lost for Jesus, relying on the Holy Spirit to bring them life? Is that which is precious to Jesus, is that which caused Jesus to leave his home in glory and go to the cross, that unworthy sinner that Jesus died for and went through all that for, are we ready to make that effort? Because we feel as strongly as Jesus did that our soul was worth dying for. And so the souls of the others who are lost in this world are worth dying for also. In the coming year, may we individually and as a congregation be seeking and saving that which is lost. As Jesus was sent, so he sends us. Let us pray. Lord, if there's anyone here today who does not personally know the Lord Jesus Christ, who hasn't come before you and admitted they're a sinner worthy of damnation because of their words, thoughts, and deeds, may this be the day, Lord, that they look to Jesus, look to a sacrifice on the cross, give up being lost, and be found by you. Oh, Lord, give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, hearts of flesh to those who are stony in heart, minds not blinded by Satan or sin. O seeker of the lost, find someone today. We pray that the lost that are here today may be found by you, that they will look to Jesus Christ and ask to be saved. And Lord, we pray for those who do know you. Our orders have been given to us. Help us to be faithful to them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Closing, let us turn to our hymn, So Send I You, 450.